You are listening to the Toxic Mold Podcast with Steve Worsley, the toxic mold expert and your number one source for mold consulting and mitigation in the USA. Let's dive into a brand new episode. Before we get started on this episode, here's a not so short disclaimer. While all attempts have been made to verify the content provided in this podcast, neither the podcaster or the producers assume any responsibility for errors, omissions, or alternative interpretations of the issues discussed here. All information stated in this podcast is the opinion of Steve Worsley. Steve Worsley is a mold specialist with over 25 years of experience in the construction and mold industry. The Toxic Mold Podcast is for information sharing purposes only. The views expressed are those of the podcaster and his alone. These views should not be taken as expert instruction or commands. While there may be references to medical conditions and symptoms, all podcast episodes are the opinion of Steve Worsley, and any medical questions or concerns shall be addressed with the appropriate licensed medical professional or professionals. As the podcaster refers to different mold types, please be aware that Steve Worsley is not a microbiologist, and questions concerning mold specifics should be answered by the appropriate professional. Steve isn't, nor does he offer, any legal advice. For any legal advice, you must speak with a lawyer. The listener is 100% responsible for his or her own actions. You can check out Steve's books on Amazon. Just go to Amazon and search for author Steve Worsley. You can also take Steve's courses on Udemy or Skillshare, and you can find out more about those at cnccontractorservices.com. Now, let's get to the episode.
Hello, you're listening to the Toxic Mold Podcast with myself, Steve Worsley, and we get my wife again, Cassandra.
Yes.
This has been pretty sure every episode this year.
Absolutely.
But you warned me that this might be going bye-bye.
Yes, this is coming to an end for a while.
Okay, well, we appreciate you. So today's episode is 249, and it is ventilation in a crawl space. So we've been talking for the last three episodes. We've been focusing on mycotoxins, so it'll be kind of good to get back to what I know a lot more about, and that's just mold. Mm-hmm. So how often do you hear me talk about crawl spaces and how much I hate them?
A lot. And most people don't like them because most people don't go into their crawl spaces.
Exactly. And for those of you that never go down there and know what it's like, could you imagine doing a mold remediation project down there?
No.
It's not fun.
No.
And it's an interesting question because a lot of people think that dirty air is what I'll call it, or contaminated air, because it's in a crawl space, it can affect them up in the living area. And that's not true at all.
Yeah.
So something just to get out of the way that I wanted to tell all of the listeners, you know, a home, and I say this quite often, a home is somewhat pressurized. And so let's say you had just a pin, like not literally a pinhole, but a hole that's a half inch in diameter in your floor because of a water pipe that runs down into the crawl space, that air could come from the crawl space up into the living area.
Yeah.
And my point is even if you claim how well you have sealed all the voids in the living area, as far as the floor itself, it would be about impossible for, in my opinion, for me to say none of that dirty air in the crawl space got up into the living area.
Which is why people have to be concerned about the air quality in their crawl space.
Yep, exactly. You know, it brings up something that, you know, like I said, we've been focusing on mycotoxins, but for the most part, and I say for the most part, there's other factors, mold has to have three main components for it to become viable and reproduce. That's the mold spore itself, humidity above 60%, and then a food source.
And what would you classify as a food source?
Any organic or cellulose materials, so carpet, wood, insulation, drywall.
A wood cutting board?
Yeah. Any,
in your kitchen?
Exactly. Anything like that.
As a mold expert, do you recommend wood cutting boards?
I personally wouldn't. But on the other hand, if you have plastic, can you imagine all the plastic you're getting in your food too?
That's true. What about bamboo? Same thing as wood?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's still a mold feeder.
To me, the best to have would be like what our countertops are, like marble.
Oh, okay.
Or granite.
And that's a non-cellulose material.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's not porous. Well, it shouldn't be. if mold was trying to grow on that, it couldn't remain viable. There's no food for it to eat.
And I think you talked about that in one of your books on how to build a mold.
Yeah, building the mold-resistant home.
You talked about the countertops. And yep. So people have to think about those kinds of things, especially when they're building a home.
Exactly. You know, if you're going to put Formica down over versus and not doing marble, there's a huge price difference. Obviously, the marble's a lot more expensive, but then you have to consider how long's the marble going to last? Is it going to be healthier for us? So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I think when people are building homes, they're not thinking about the ventilation in their crawl space either. When people are buying homes, they're not thinking about how ventilated is this crawl space so I don't have a mold yep. issue.
Yeah, and it brings up something. That's why you should have a home inspection done. You always need a home inspection. I don't care if it's brand new construction. I've told you about it. I follow a guy down in Arizona, and he does new construction stuff. And he finds a ton of problems, a lot more than when I did home inspections. There was a builder that was building townhouses, and I didn't think they were very high quality. And I didn't even come close to what he finds. And these are single family homes. I mean, we're talking broken roof trusses, condensate lines that aren't attached. I mean, it's cracked roof tiles. Like, it's a lot.
Well, and here's a life lesson for all of those listening who are in the construction or the mold remediation field. Even if you go into a house or a townhouse or a building and you feel like it was built like crap, don't say that to the person who's showing you the building, because they may actually have been the general contractor who did the work.
Yeah, I've several times kind of put my foot in my mouth. I remember we were, but it was the contractor that built the building. I don't remember what it was over.
But it was the townhouse next to ours.
Oh, that's right.
And it was a mess.
Yes, that's right. And I went on a small rant about how poorly built these townhouses were.
And he was the builder.
That he was the builder. So yeah, it was very interesting.
So just keep those kinds of comments in your mind.
Yeah.
Because you might be interacting as you're doing exactly. a mold assessment or whatever with the builder.
Yeah. And it goes back to what you were saying. Like, a lot of people think, you know, because it's new construction, that they don't need a home inspector. The code inspector for whatever city, county, municipality you live in, they're there to do only code inspections. Whereas a home inspector, if you have the right one, which I don't know any of them that don't work for their clients, they're going to look out for your safety. So if you have a new construction building and the home inspector does his inspection, or her, whichever, they'll know if there's even proper ventilation in the crawl space, mm-hmm. which kind of brings up something else that has nothing to do with mold. But, you know, if you're doing all the proper inspections, you should have a radon test done. I've never seen high radon come back that's over a properly ventilated crawl space.
Okay.
So that proper ventilation kills two birds with one stone. You have lower radon levels and it's vented properly, so you don't have to worry about mold.
Should listeners, are all crawl spaces ventilated?
No. So they have what's called a conditioned crawl space.
What is that?
So going back to that builder I was telling you about that I didn't think built very well townhouses, they had what's called conditioned crawl spaces. More or less, there was zero passive ventilation. So when we say passive, just natural. And what it was is they put a vapor barrier on the floor, so just plastic sheeting. And then the furnaces were in the basement or in the crawl space, which to me is not a good idea. But anyhow, then they actually had a vent that vented into the crawl space. So those are classified as a conditioned crawl space. Okay. And you know what that means is, you know, a vented crawl space, to me, you have passive ventilation. So you have vents that you can see. Mm-hmm. In colder climates like Wyoming, you close them in the wintertime because your pipes will freeze up if you don't. But if it's conditioned, you don't have any of that.
Okay.
And so a conditioned crawl space, in my opinion, if you're going to have a conditioned crawl space, you do need to make sure that you really monitor the airflow down there and the humidity. But you got to do that anyways in a vented. So
when you say monitor, how often are we talking and what does monitoring mean?
24/7 as far as humidity.
Oh, so you need a humidity gauge that maybe is Bluetooth to an app
exactly.
on your phone
yep.
for the crawl space specifically.
Exactly.
Okay, gotcha.
Yep. And so that way we talked about it a little bit earlier. You want to make sure that the humidity stays below 60%.
Okay.
But you should, and we talk about it in the spring and fall checklist. We're probably not too far from the
spring.
Yeah, exactly. It's already March. So Anyhow, you should be inspecting it at least twice a year.
Okay, at least twice. So at the fall and spring checklist.
Exactly.
Okay. And what happens if you get a humidity gauge on your crawl space and it starts dinging you all of a sudden that it is above 60%? When do you worry? Is it the first time it dings? Is it if it stays that way for hours?
I would be worried. Once again, it depends. You know, we live in an area where it's not humid. The relative humidity around here is 30-40%. Now, if you're in Florida or Georgia, humidity is going to be a lot higher. But to me, I would be concerned if it hits 60%. But on the other hand, maybe you live in the South where you have high humidity and it lingers around that anyways. If that's the case, though, you've got to do something to control that humidity.
Absolutely.
Because if you don't, you're going to have a mold concern.
Yeah. So that makes a lot of sense. So then what if somebody's listening and they figure out that they don't have good ventilation? Maybe they do have a conditioned crawl space rather than a vented one, or their ventilation just isn't doing its job. What do you do then?
A lot of it would depend on if it's conditioned, it should have a proper vapor barrier, meaning the plastic sheeting over the dirt floor.
Okay.
That's... if, let's say there is a vapor barrier, I would maybe go down there and make sure that all the seams are taped. There's seam tape you can put down. I would make sure that everything's on the up and up with the vapor barrier itself. Maybe chronically, there's just always in the spring, there's always moisture down there. Maybe the water table's high.
Okay.
That would require a sump pit.
Okay. Okay.
And at the end of the day, I would... instead of, depending on what the defect is, let's say it is groundwater, maybe you decide not to put a sump pit in there. You could try to do ventilation. But in my opinion, I would deal with the sump pit and pay the money to get that taken care of.
Okay.
Because that's a secondary fix as far as ventilation.
Absolutely.
I would address the root cause of what's causing the elevated humidity. Does that make sense?
So when somebody sees elevated humidity, they should get an expert involved to figure out what's causing it.
Exactly.
They should fix the original problem that's causing it and make sure that they have, if they need a sump pump or sump pit, they have that vapor barrier down, and that should help.
Exactly. Okay. A vapor barrier, you'd be surprised, even in places that aren't humid. So let's just say, like we're in our area, it's not humid. Somebody could say, well, the soils are, it's a lot of sand or clays or whatever. Clays would have higher humidity or higher moisture, which would elevate the humidity. But my point is even if you look in your crawl space and you're like, oh, those soils are never wet, you would be surprised how much a vapor barrier would help.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting part, going back to radon, you could kill two birds with one stone. That would help with the radon levels in the home too.
Absolutely.
Because radon comes up through the soils.
Would you ever recommend putting like a lufty in the crawl space or no? Well, there's no plugs. There's no plugs, yeah.
Well, some do.
Some,
have a light down there. You'd be surprised.
Okay.
How many do, but I wouldn't put a luft in there. No.
Okay.
No, the luft is just, it measures six different things. Radon, temperature, humidity, TVOCs, ECO2, and the air pressure.
So just to interject, because maybe somebody's listening to this podcast for the first time on this episode, and they didn't listen to any of the episodes where we talked about the luft. It is this interesting device that gives you a ton of data about your indoor air quality.
Exactly. And I'll put a link in the description of this podcast for the luft. And it is called luft. My wife likes to call it a lufty
because I think that's a better name for
exactly.
it.
Exactly. But I'm an affiliate with them. And if you purchase the luft through the link, I actually give you 12 months of overseeing or overlooking your result. And what happens is Luft will send you quarterly, they will send you an email, and all you have to do is just forward that to me, and then I'll look over it and say, hey, I think maybe we should do XYZ or whatever.
Absolutely. So, 12 months of of expert consultation on your Luft reportings that come out.
But it's actually the same company. It's Sun Radon. The reason I came across it is my radon monitors are that. That's who makes my radon monitors. So my point is the radon that it monitors it's high quality. But monitoring the radon is very important, but monitoring the humidity is too. Mm-hmm. Ours seems to be red more than it should be. But depending on what it is, a lot of times going back to what we've always talked about, proper ventilation. So when that luft is red, if we get some better airflow going, it'll lower whatever numbers that it's on.
Absolutely.
But to answer your question, don't put a luft in your crawl space.
Okay, so don't put it in your crawl space, but certainly focus on getting better ventilation
exactly.
in your crawl space.
Yep.
What's your call to action for people?
Like I said, we're going to be doing the spring checklist here probably in a couple weeks. I forget when I normally do it, so I apologize to the listeners. But every year since we've been doing it, we do a spring checklist. But go down there and take a peek down in there. Check and make sure that the soils are not wet. You can tell, hopefully, if it's got a musty or humid odor to it. So just take a look down in there. You don't have to crawl in there. Just pop the opening off or however you get in there and take a look in there with your flashlight.
Absolutely.
It'll be worth, I know we all hate crawl spaces. I don't like them, but I have to go into them all the time. It will save you a lot of money and heartache down the road if you check down there.
There you have it.
So we do, last week we talked about some of the consultations we do, but one of the things that we offer, we started offering it, I think, a couple years ago during COVID. We do VPAs, which is a virtual property assessment. Of course, if you can have an inspection done, if you're in Wyoming or Utah, depending on how far you are, you can hire us and we'll come do one on site. But my point is if you don't feel like you can find a competent inspector, we can do a VPA, and there's a lot, you know, that we can catch. I mean, it's not uncommon to find literally visible mold infestations. So it's well worth it. It's on the website, cnccontractorservices.com. And today's episode was 249. Thanks for listening and have a great week.
Thank you for listening to this episode. Make sure you go to our website at cnccontractorservices.com and sign up for the mold investigation checklist. Again, go to cnccontractorservices.com and get your free mold investigation checklist today. You can also on cnccontractorservices.com find out more about Steve's courses and books and consultations. Once again, go to cnccontractorservices.com.